the trip to say, hey, we still exist. I don't know if you've heard, but we're still a newspaper, because you pointed out during the break that when the Post-Gazette goes away, there's not going to be a city our size without a paper of record like the Post-Gazette. And you said that, and I'm like, well, what's the Trib? It's not some newsletter that people get once a week. It's not like a magazine. It's still, I mean, none of these things are technically newspapers anymore. They don't put out a newspaper every day.
Like, I think Cleveland.com is just what the Plain Dealer became.
Do they even make a hard copy Plain Dealer anymore? Sure. I have no clue.
I know that, like, a lot of that, if not all of it, I think moved over and is now Cleveland.com. Ironically enough, the other block paper that exists is the Toledo Blade, and it still exists. So Toledo, which does technically have a bigger city population because of the way they measure it than Pittsburgh does, they still got the Blade, baby.
Yeah, but if I were to the Toledo Blade, I would not exactly feel good about my work prospects.
Honestly, I'd have to, what I would have to know there is if they're backed by a union, because the other part of this that I wasn't aware of, because I was taken aback because I thought the Post-Gazette was in the midst of fighting and trying to get a stay of the federal court ruling that went against them in their lawsuit.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that the Supreme Court of the United States had already said, nah, we're not issuing
a stay.
How much
money do you think the Post-Gazette spent on that lawsuit? When did that start?
It's gone on years. The strike has been going on years. Like, I think like three or four maybe is the number. How much money do I think they've spent on legal fees and fighting it?
Millions?
Oh, I know it's millions. I'm trying to gauge for you properly how many millions, because it's very big, very expensive law firms, multiple, that they've cycled through. I would bet you the number is over $50 million, but under $100 million to fight this. But that's just a wild guess.
One of the things I'm going to miss about the Post-Gazette, and this is something that was a daily part of my routine and will no longer be in the next 5 months or 5 months from now, is I always liked going to the area of their website that just told you what was trending in sports, because it gave you a pretty good idea for what people were reading and what people cared about. Like, for example, right now they've got their top five red stories, all Steelers stories. Starkey's column on the Harbaugh decision by Baltimore. The next one, Steelers fight song, Here We Go, gets fresh take ahead of playoff push. Have you heard
I'm surprised it's not number one.
Have you heard the updated version of that?
I have not, actually.
Have you?
I have.
And?
It hits different this year.
Oh, yeah?
I think it's back. Last year, I just couldn't get into it because the team stunk and had lost four in a row. And I thought, as Donnie once said, they were going to go to Baltimore and get bludgeoned. But there's some renewed optimism in the Steelers, so the song did actually get me hyped.
For you.
Yeah.
There is renewed optimism. Okay.
Did the song have the same effect on you, Don?
I mean, I guess I liked it a little bit more than last year.
That's not exactly a ringing endorsement for it.
I mean, how much different is the song year by year?
It's just different names.
It changes a couple of names.
Yeah. But I would say that you go back and listen to the one from 05, it hits different than the one
we
from 2011.
Oh, yeah, they won a championship.
I'm trying to like imagine what he did this year. We got Rodgers, DK, and Warren here. There we go.
Here we go.
That bass line's always
here
just bumped.
Steelers, black and the gold.
Here we go.
This town of Pittsburgh's heart and soul.
Here we go.
The Steeler Nation has the best fans. We are from Pittsburgh, the six-time Super Bowl champ.
Here we go.
So that part's always been, that's
here
the same every year. You think they just use old?
I wonder that. I do wonder that.
That line, you think they just keep that in from like 10 years ago?
It has to be. Just some nice editing work.
Aaron Rodgers is ready to win.
Here we go.
With Gainwell, Metcalf, and Calvin Austin.
Here we go.
We'll go to Warren, then we need a touchdown. And if you get in his way, he's gonna knock you around.
Here we go.
So there's actually, because whenever this song comes out, there's local news outlets, like previously the Post-Gazette with this article, who flock to Roger Wood and ask him hard-hitting questions about putting together the song.
Yeah. The composition.
And he told Channel 4 that there was a big monkey wrench this year. He said, I had a completed version. It was done. And it was DK, Gainwell, and Washington.
I figured Washington was like going to be the get in his way, he's going to knock you around.
Did he roll a Mount Washington?
No, it was just Washington, he said on Channel 4.
And then he gets hurt.
And so he had to improvise and like throw the, Calvin Austin in there.
I like getting Calvin Austin in there.
Well, it's good to put Calvin Austin in. I mean, it's easy. He scored the winning touchdown of the game that sent him there. Here's a question for both of you. That chorus that backs Roger Wood.
Who are those people?
I want to know how many of them. Who are they? Give me the male to female ratio in that chorus. I would love to know.
You know what else is impressive?
And do they tour as their own little like backing group?
Go back and listen to the one from 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30. I mean, like, I think wasn't one of the first ones when
95.
They went to Super Bowl 30.
Yeah.
The dude sounds the exact same.
Yeah. He looks pretty good, too. You know what he should
imagine
do
if they
next
got
year?
Bob Dylan to do this?
You wouldn't understand a word.
I think if they go on a run, like, let's say they get as far as the AFC Championship game.
My brain almost blew up trying to consider that.
I think that the Midday guy should get Roger Wood in studio to do a live version of this. And I think Starkey should be one of the backup singers, and he should do his voice effect thing where he grabs his gobbler.
All right, Roger, here we go. Cheer the Steelers, black and the gold, here we go.
No, you know he does that deep voice thing, too?
He goes, oh, yeah.
We're down.
We'll go to Gainwell when we need
and
a
Pops
touchdown.
Pops is a great bass.
Well, I mean, he used to be an Elvis impersonator.
That's right.
Now, here's another question I have. Maybe
By
I
all
missed
means,
it.
Let's hear it.
Has this guy ever performed live at the stadium? I mean, Jimmy Pohl used to be at the stadium doing the polka live in the 70s.
That's a good question. I feel like the Steelers have kept him at arm's length. You know, I feel like he's not
Do
in
not
the
let
fraternity.
Roger Wood on the premises.
He's not one of them.
I also think this is a labor of love. I don't think he's making any money off of this. It's not like before
where
maybe back in the day you could like buy a single CD or something like that that had the song on it. I'm sure in the 90s and early 2000s that could have been the case. Now I think he just does it out of
his undying love for the Steelers. Yeah.
Do you want to hear which defensive players made it in?
Honey, I'm taking a bath making this song.
Here we go. Here we go. Steelers. Here we go. Pittsburgh's gone to the Super Bowl. Here we go.
Now the offense is ready to score.
Here we go.
And there's one thing we know for sure.
Oh, I forgot this part.
Here we go.
If we don't get it in the end zone, we'll get 3 points off of Boswell's toe.
It's not an extra point.
Here we go. Here we go.
Who are the other kickers that have been?
Here we go.
Jeff Reed's toe. Chris Brown's toe. Norm Johnson's toe.
Highsmith, Watt and Hayward.
Here we go.
Queen and Ramsey and Joey Jr.
Clever.
The other team won't gain any ground because the defense is going to bring the steel curtain down.
All right. Did I miss Harmon in there?
I don't think he put him in, no.
Got to put Harmon in, I think.
I don't think he did. How about Todd Peterson's toe?
Norm Johnson's toe?
Gary Anderson's toe, right?
No, he
would have been gone. He would have been gone.
Yeah.
Sean Sweezum.
Yeah, Sweezum's toe was one of them.
We'll get 3 points off of Matthew Wright's toe.
Matthew Wright signed by the Bills. He might kick in the playoffs, believe it or not.
We'll get 3 points off of Bullock's toe. Didn't Randy Bullock kick for them?
Not in the playoffs, but yes. Tomlin gave, I think, his first... I can't answer this question because people are getting sued to answer on DK Metcalf with Eisen today. Here it is.
What about growth from his point of view of not being available based on what happened in Detroit?
Man, he's sick about it. I'm tired of hearing him apologize about it. It's behind us now. It's time for us to move on and get singularly focused on what lies ahead. Certainly, there's a growth opportunity there as a man, but all indications are that it has happened and he's open and non-resistant to that. And so my focus is the football that's ahead of us.
Metcalf didn't even want to sound conciliatory when he talked on Monday. He got pissed at Jeff for asking him about it. Jeff's going to join us.
Well, Jeff was the only person I think who didn't get his head ripped off, because on the video, DK gives him a nice, genuine sounding smile, like, oh, you had to be you that asked that. Like, he almost like he likes Jeff. And then everyone subsequent who asked follow ups got the death stare from him. I actually thought Jeff got off easy on that one.
But contrition there in terms of Metcalf relating it to Tomlin and the players was sick about it. And then Tomlin even said this is an opportunity for him to grow as a man from this. So Dulac had reported about how they were ticked off at the NFL and line security, the appeals process. It just seemed like a lot of it was blaming other people.
Does Tomlin say it's an opportunity for him to grow kind of suggest that maybe Metcalf admitted, you know what, like, he didn't say the stuff I said he said, or like that I relayed to Chad Johnson or whoever?
I don't know about that part, but like not losing your temper and flipping out when you see the person.
My point is, if Metcalf insisted, no, he said these things to me and he has not gone back on that, I think Mike might be like, ugh.
But he didn't. Metcalf even admitted that those comments didn't happen. If they did happen, they didn't happen at this game. It was from the Seattle game. So he saw him and went up to him and confronted him. And it was not, other than the guy trying to like get him to sign a jersey and shout his name, he did not do anything inappropriate or worse than that to get his attention at this game. He was just being a garden variety boob.
Yeah.
All right. Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. It's time for the Hawk Report with 93.7 The Fan Steelers insider Jeff Hathorn. Segment sponsored by Mike's Beer Bar. The fan beer of the month is Penn Brewery's Penn Pilsner. Proceeds benefit the National Down Syndrome Society. All right, Jeff. Sad day in our business. Sad day for sports fans in Pittsburgh with the Post-Gazette shutting down. Its last day will be May 3rd. Year-round, a ton of these Post-Gazette Steelers insiders. Did you get the sense that something like this was on the horizon from being around them as much as you are?
So every once in a while, you would get a comment from one of them of like, well, if we're still around. And it was more of like you didn't take it seriously, but you thought, okay, you know, that's just something you say. But I don't know that anybody thought this, and especially the way they handled it. I mean, man, shame on the blocks. There's some good people that work tons of hours, and not just on the sports side, but all over the place. But
The thing that gets me, Jeff, is it sounds like if they had gotten a stay from the Supreme Court, they would have kept right on chugging along on their terms. It's one that became obvious that it would not continue on their terms that they wanted, that they just said, nah, we're done. That's what I can't get over.
Yeah, it almost seems like a spoiled kid, right?
Take my ball and go home.
I didn't get my way. Exactly.
Yeah.
And, man, these people, and you need journalists, not just in sports, but, man, that just sucks.
It's one of those things, too, where there's part of me that thinks enterprises like the Post-Gazette are almost too big to fail. Obviously, it's lost a lot of money, but just the idea that it completely goes away. Like Chris said at the beginning of the show, it'd be like if Channel 2 said, hey, we're just going to not broadcast anymore. Even though people's habits are changing, it's just hard for me to fathom institutional media companies or outlets just completely going away, Jeff.
Yeah, and you know, the PG had changed. I mean, they're doing a lot of stuff online. They do videos. They moved Wentzel into a position to kind of enhance that. And Noah Hyles had been doing that type of stuff as well. So it's not like they just were bullheaded about this is how we do business. They're altering. And I mean, look at their clicks and then the attention their guys get. And man, we all know too many of these people, you know, too personally. And I mean, where would we be as a station without Ron and Joe and some of the people that worked at the Post-Gazette? Bouchette.
What about Eddie Boo?
You know?
Well, like Ron and Joe's, Ron at the start, obviously, because Joe was still with the Trib at that point, but Ron's ties with the Post-Gazette, I thought, gave the station like instant credibility, his name recognition from being at the Post-Gazette.
Had you had met Ron before he started working here, Malzie?
No, my first meeting with Ron was when 5 minutes after shaking his hand, he said, oh yeah, you made me feel real old, real nice, thanks.
Donnie, had you met Ron before you produced a program for him here?
No. No.
What were your impressions of him upon meeting him? Did it match the character you heard on the radio?
Yeah, and I always thought that Joe had a good description of him. Like, he would say rough around the edges, but a true teddy bear inside. I thought that was pretty fair.
Joe likes to say that about me, too, but I'm like I'm an a-hole.
But I'm still, like. I was still convinced.
No, you're not.
I was still convinced even through Ron's final day here that he didn't know my name.
Just,
what?
That's crazy.
I mean, I would just see him in the hall and he'd be like, all right now. Just give me like one of those.
Sometimes he'd hit you with a howdy.
Hey there.
You go, howdy.
I will say this quickly, not going to make this a Ron Cook memory session here. I did 2 to 6 a.m. when the station started. That meant I even had to do the 2 to 6 a.m. Friday into Saturday. Well, it was Saturday morning, Pony, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Friday night, but really Saturday morning. Cook, because we were all working a sixth day on air at the very outset of the station. I'm talking first 3 or 4 months.
Yep.
Cook would do his sixth day was a 6 to 10 a.m. show on Saturday morning right after me.
Yep.
He'd come in, and he would get like cut the profile of me. I don't know what I'm going to do these 4 hours. Hopefully those lines light up. And the funny part was, like, no one knew who I was. I was doing, like, a boxing hour from 5 to 6 just to screw around, and people liked it. Sure enough, Ron would open the mic, and I would still be lingering around, and there would go the lines.
Yep.
People just ready to talk to Ron Cook.
People wanted to be a radio star.
Yes! That's when he would hit him with the and me show.
And then he would chastise them if they didn't call in. That was another one of
He was going to turn this car around if you're not going to call me. I'll go to the next topic in the holster.
And then it changed to where it was, you know, he was on a high noon in the big city.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I lived that for
Stay
a
healthy,
of years.
Seven.
Hey,
yes, you did.
Jeff, the result of Sunday night's game. So now John Harbaugh's out in Baltimore. We even had Mike Florio say he thinks it's possible Lamar Jackson could get traded this offseason too, which was crazy. Are you of the opinion that if Loop makes that kick, Tomlin leaves the Steelers in some form or fashion?
I still don't think so. You never say never, because there have been so many things that have changed with the Steelers over the years, over the last couple of years. I still don't think so, given the way that that game would have played out, that they would have, you know, had huge comebacks in the second half and would feel like they would have something. I mean, it is amazing how one kick changed the look of two different franchises. But I think he stays. I still think he stays.
Do you think that kick missing changes what would have otherwise happened? And this is kind of a weird question, but I guess I'll just ask it this way. If that kick goes in and Mike stays, do you think they don't pick up his option? And now, since the kick went in, do you think that they will pick up that option by March, whatever it is, for Mike?
I think they probably will pick up his option. I mean, let's see what happens Monday night. But I think the option would have been a big debate if he stayed. I think that would have been the big question when we would have gotten an opportunity in a couple of weeks to meet with Art Rooney. That would have been a big question on whether or not they would have picked up
if
that
they
option.
Had lost, you're saying. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We just heard Tomlin on Metcalf on Eisen's show when he said that he knows that Metcalf's still sick over what happened in Detroit and he's been apologizing nonstop. Did you get that impression when you met with him the other day?
I did. I mean, he didn't want to talk about it, and there are legal reasons, I think, more than anything. It probably would have helped his case if he just would have said, hey, and however he wanted to phrase it, like, this Chagoff might sue me if I say something, so I'm not going to say anything at all. but like when teammates came up to him that we would see before or after we talked to him, like it was a very much like a, you know, that feeling you get like, man, I'm sorry I let you guys down. Like, thanks for your, like it seemed like he's been humbled in some respects by that and does feel for it. And he told us, and I believe him, that he couldn't even watch the second half of the Browns game. Don't you wish we all could have had the same?
I wish we could have left at halftime.
Right? So I do think that is sincere. He has performed well in his career in the playoffs. You know, maybe he'll be a spark and help lead to a different result than what we've seen since 2017.
Do you think that now that he's going to be back in the fold for this game, Jeff, that they are going to try to be more aggressive down the field than they were against the Ravens until they kind of had to be and Rodgers hit a couple of those shots?
Man, the Texans are good at I mean, Aaron hasn't thrown interceptions. Texans have 19 of them. Like, I don't know that you alter the plan, but maybe at least takes one of those guys out, you know, and it gives you an opportunity to find somebody else or allows Freiermuth to have a big game or make some key catches again. I just think the way that you have to attack the Steelers as a defense changes because of DK. I don't know that he's going to have a monster game, but he might allow for somebody else or for Gainwell to continue to have opportunities down the field because of the worry you have to put on four.
Jeff, what direction are you leaning on what happens with Aaron Rodgers after Monday night?
I mean, guys, I think he's had the wrist injury, but other than that, he even said the other day he felt like Benjamin Button, that he just keeps getting better as the season goes on. If he makes a rash decision, I say he says he wants to come back. The more he thinks about it and goes home and is with his wife, I mean, maybe that alters his thought, but it seems like everything we've seen, he still loves the game. He loves being in the room. He's got a room that respects him. Even if they lose this game, I think he feels like he's got football in front of him. And I think most importantly, from a Steeler perspective, unless you get a Malik Willis, who in that draft that's going to be available when you pick is someone that's going to lead you as a franchise
today.
Quarterback.
Jeff, did you see him in the Rose Bowl? All right,
Jeff, I got one more for you on the future of certain particulars with the Steelers. Is every game the Steelers play from here on out, whether it's one or more than one, Terrell Austin's potential last game as Steelers defensive coordinator, regardless of how things shake out in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think that's as much a potential as we've seen. I'm not saying that's a slam dunk, but yeah, I think that's accurate.
And if he is gone,
it'll be the Falcons' former
exactly.
coaches.
Is it going to be immediately Thursday. Raheem Morris if it's Terrell Austin no longer?
Boy, that's an easy one to connect the dots, isn't
it? Yes,
it
is, I mean, Jeff. It's one little straight line, dot to dot.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think that if that move does happen, then unless he were to get a head coaching job, then that would be the person that, if not, takes the job. It wouldn't be because he wasn't offered it. Let's just put it that way.
Jeff, kick off our prediction week. Steelers, Texans, you'll be there on Monday night for the fan. Who are you picking to win and why? Ooh.
I'd take the under. I'd like in this circumstance, as much as Stroud has had some good playoff games, I think the Steelers have the better quarterback and the Steelers win 14-10.
Wow. He's going against an Ohio State guy there.
And guys, I got a quick question for you because you guys love this stuff. The last time they played 2023, 30-6 Texans.
Yep.
8 of the 10 Steelers leading tacklers are no longer on the roster from that game. There is one guy out of the top 10 tacklers in that game who's still a starter for the Steelers. Can you name that person?
I'm going to say it's Joey Porter Jr.
No.
It's a trick question because I think, did Hayward miss that game?
Yeah, I don't think it's Cam.
He did.
Okay.
2023, leading tackler.
No, he said of
one of their top 10.
One of their top 10 tacklers in that game.
It's got to be like a gunner or an offensive player or something.
Had a big game Sunday night.
I'm going to say Keanu Benton.
Exactly. That's it.
Wow.
That isn't good, right, Jeff?
But he is taking...
That means there's been some turnover.
He's taking the black and gold. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, guys.
And Judge Donnie is brought to you by LGKG. Hey, we're not real attorneys, but local super lawyers Larry Kelly and Joe George from LGKG are. A new year of Judge Donnie. This courtroom score has been brought back to 0-0 for Mulsey and I. Your Honor, I pledge to be much more docile, much more understanding. You will not hear me appeal many decisions this year. I will respect your domain and your power over this courtroom.
Your Honor, I intend to echo Counselor Filippone and say my 2026 resolution for Judge Donnie is to simply put, respect the judge's authority.
And I'd like to wish you a happy new year, Your Honor.
Thank you. Thank you.
Your Honor, I'd like to wish you a happy Orthodox Christmas, whether you are or not.
That's a really good one, Chris.
You're welcome.
All right, boys. Today we preside over two, some would say legendary, some would say hated, coaches in the AFC North. One of them no more. Mr. John Harbaugh against Mr. Mike Tomlin. Who is the better coach? Gents?
Ready for a round of rock, paper, scissors to determine who has what side?
Yep.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Damn. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Yes. I'm going to defer. It's back. The defer.
Yeah, I don't know what. This is like a weird NFL kicking strategy. Your Honor, thank you. As I stated earlier, it's an honor to be in your chambers. The answer to me is clear when you look past some of the media-generated narratives in the national consciousness. The better coach of John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin is, in fact, John Harbaugh. Coaches are not only judged on wins in the regular season, they're also judged on how they perform in the postseason, and they're also judged on how they perform when people don't think that they necessarily are supposed to win a game. And in just about all of those facets, really two out of three, as Meatloaf said, that ain't bad. John Harbaugh wins out over Mike Tomlin. We start with Tomlin's calling card, his regular season work. In 309 games, he's won 193 of them. Harbaugh in one less season, 16 fewer games coached, is only 13 wins behind Tomlin in there. Reasonable to assume that he would have been within one or two if he had coached that 19th season near Tomlin. So they're essentially winning at almost the exact same pace in the regular season. Harbaugh also with 13-11 as his postseason record in 24 games. Tomlin 8-19. I don't think you need to be a math wizard to know that one of those is a 542 winning percentage and one of them is 421. John Harbaugh has also ended Ravens seasons or had his seasons at the helm, 18 of them, fully half have ended with at least one playoff victory. He had at least one playoff win in five straight seasons to start his Ravens career. Furthermore, on the last point, his run to his only Super Bowl appearance and title was one that most people did not expect the 2012 Ravens to make with Joe Flacco as their quarterback. A win over Indy, a win over Denver, a dominant win over New England, and then a win over his brother with a definitive not Hall of Famer playing quarterback. Just some of the many reasons John Harbaugh is the superior coach.
Andrew?
Your Honor, the numbers don't lie, and they spell disaster for Counselor Mueller's argument today. Counselor Mueller is bringing up hypotheticals like if John Harbaugh was granted another year. Well, here's the problem. He doesn't have another year right now because his team just lost to Mike Tomlin's team. Mike Tomlin went 2-0 against John Harbaugh this year. When the two sides have gone head-to-head against each other 40 times, we are not talking about a small sample size. In fact, we are talking about the second largest sample size in coaching head-to-head history. The only matchup with more is Curly Lambeau versus George Halas, for crying out loud. And Mike Tomlin is 23-17 when he goes against John Harbaugh. To channel a man named Mario Cristobal, who has the Miami Hurricanes now in the semifinal of the college football playoff. What are we supposed to do here? Just throw out the games where the two coaches and two teams actually, I don't know, play against each other and not weigh the results of those games more? But even beyond that, Your Honor, Counselor Mueller did a good job of bringing up Joe Flacco. Congratulations on all his rhetorical success bringing up that name. What he really didn't do is tell you about the failures of John Harbaugh with Lamar Jackson. They have been together since 2018. Lamar has won two MVPs. He has three playoff wins to six losses in that time. There is no debating the time that they have spent together from 2018 to 2025. 8 years that John Harbaugh has underachieved with arguably one of the best statistical quarterbacks in the entire league, a one-of-a-kind dual-threat quarterback. Your Honor, Mike Tomlin is a better head coach than John Harbaugh. He made the playoffs with a 42-year-old, and Harbaugh's sitting at home at 8-9.
Chris?
Judge, Your Honor, let me just say that 40 games against one another where Tomlin holds a narrow advantage does not an entire coaching career make, nor should it. So I find Counselor Filippone's point initially very narrow in its scope. Secondly, I find his final argument that Harbaugh underachieved with Lamar Jackson riddled with flaws. Actually, namely, one big flaw. Counselor Filippone doesn't believe any of the nice things he's saying about Lamar Jackson, as he has routinely used his bully pulpit on this show to denigrate Jackson's credentials as an elite quarterback. In fact, he's pretty much said as much that Lamar Jackson is overrated and will never win big in the playoffs. Finally, I would give John Harbaugh credit for something Mike Tomlin never does, which is make proactive changes. That run to a 2012 Super Bowl, John Harbaugh had the gumption to fire Jim Caldwell, hire Cam Cameron, and reap the benefits. He has been proactive with his coaches, something we know Mike Tomlin will never be.
Andrew?
He comes in here, he lies, he manipulates things. Have I crushed Lamar Jackson before? Yes, I have. At no point in the proceedings have I said he is worse than the players Mike Tomlin has taken to the playoffs, like this year with Aaron Rodgers, last year with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, and before that, Mason friggin' Rudolph, for crying out loud. You want me to broaden my scope of things on the two coaches? I will. It is not just the fact that Tomlin holds the edge 23-17, swept the guy, and when they're both in the same building together, one guy does a much better job of coaching than the other. It's also just the big numbers. Mike Tomlin's career win percentage is 628. Harbaugh's is 614. That is more than Harbaugh. Tomlin has 193 wins. Harbaugh has 180. He has one more Super Bowl appearance than Harbaugh. They both have one win. To me, that is a pretty big tiebreaker. He got to the final game twice. Harbaugh's only done it once. He's done it zero times with Lamar Jackson, Your Honor. Tomlin is the better coach.
It was a generous minute, Your Honor.
Boys, I really didn't know where to go with this one. I was compelled by both sides.
Your Honor, I do want to pause for a second here to build the dramatic tension. I did wonder if in 2026 you would try a new accent on for size. If instead of a Southern judge, perhaps we'd get a breezy California judge who sounded like a stoner surfer. But I'm glad to see that you've stuck to your guns.
In this case of Mike Tomlin versus John Harbaugh, I found that the playoff evidence of John Harbaugh puts him over the edge.
Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate the difficulty in the decision. I'll even concede that Counselor Filippone made many compelling points, but I laud you for making a tough decision, in my opinion, very fairly. One other thing I would have used to support Harbs, by the way. Who's the third team in this little triple threat match? The New England Patriots. And who actually goes in there and beats them when it counts? In their building, no less?
Did it twice and
should have
done it three
times. And should have done it three times.
But, Your Honor, that's because Chris says things like the Steelers' Super Bowl 43 title is cheapened by the fact that they didn't play New England. And he
Well, I don't agree. I told him before, I don't agree with that point.
He holds up wins against the Patriots in the wild card round is almost just as impressive as actually going and winning a Super Bowl without playing.
Well, beating the prime Patriots by 2 touchdowns in the AFC title game to get to your only Super Bowl that you ended up winning.
Is it too late to change your answer, Your Honor?
No.
This post trial deliberation?
I always thought that was a pretty big feather in his cap and in Flacco's. They strolled into New England, and they beat their ass twice, and they should have won 3 times if it wasn't for Lee Evans and Billy Cundiff.
I forgot how good Flacco was in that AFC title game. Just a casual 21 of 36, which isn't a great percentage, but 240, 3 tutties, no picks. God, he just steamrolled them. You know what he had?
Yeah.
He had Eli Manning dumb face New England.
Is the story true based on some of the people that might be related to Jack and friends with Jack, court stenographer Jack? Who is keeping
We got to get him one of those little shorthand things he can read it back.
Is it true that court stenographer Jack once said that he would take prime Lamar Jackson over prime Ben Roethlisberger? Wow.
The YouTube commenters are very surprised. Donnie, quote, I'm neutral football. They're saying the judge proved his neutrality. Pony, you won, says Zarina Dias. Don't listen to these bozos. I like the use of bozos.
Well, wait a minute. Who's don't listen to these bozos?
No, this person who goes Zarina Diaz or something.
Who are the bozos in this case?
I think me and Donnie.
Oh.
Because I argued against you and Donnie ruled in my favor.
Yeah.
Then our friend Johnny Cookie says, if the Patriots just didn't exist, how many Super Bowls would the Steelers have?
Okay.
How many would you give them if the Brady era Patriots don't exist? The Steelers don't beat the Rams in 2001, I don't think, they get there.
They do not.
I think the Steelers could have beaten that Eagles team in 2004.
I think that's right.
I think that team could have won that game. Probably, I would have picked them to win it. What else?
They already beat them in the regular season that year.
Right. 2016, did they beat the Falcons? That was a very good Falcons team.
No, I don't think they do.
Good enough to be up a lot.
Do you think so, Don?
Steelers ain't coming back from 28-3 down if they find themselves in that kind of hole.
They're not making the comeback, but...
Ooh.
I mean, that was something else that I thought Chris would actually bring up more in his argument, that the Steelers had a top 5 quarterback, a top 1 wide receiver, and probably a top 3 running back and won nothing.
Your Honor, let me tell you something right now. When you get under the bright lights of cross-examination and making closing arguments, things of that nature, those 2 minutes go by very quickly. You got to pick and choose.